Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon. Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually.
Oh, yeah. And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. You can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
It is time for the Almost Famous Podcast. Yes, Ashley is still away, so I have two incredible co-hosts today. I mean, absolutely beautiful specimens of men. Dean Ungler and Wells Adams.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a fun day. Yeah. We are currently sitting in Wells' hometown.
Mm-hmm.
For the AT&T Celebrity Pro-Am. Is that what they would call it?
The AT&T Pro-Am, yeah.
Yeah.
And it used to be called the Clam Bake.
Tell us the history.
Okay, so a Pro-Am is when you have professional golfers play with celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Happens a bunch, but the biggest one is the one that happens here at Pebble Beach. And it originally was started by Bing Crosby in like the 30s. Bing Crosby was like a famous old actor, and he was a member at Cypress and would come up here from Los Angeles, and he wanted to do a big golf tournament with all his famous friends and the professionals. And so he coined this tournament Bing Crosby's Clam Bake, and then turned into the biggest like get in Hollywood. If you got invited to play in Bing Crosby's thing, it was a big deal. And it's
who carried, is Bing Crosby?
He's a famous old actor, singer, dancer, heartthrob. He's like you, but from like the 30s.
Okay. And can sing.
Okay, but why? And so he was like, he was a big deal. Like, why would anyone care to play with Bing Crosby? You know, like, why did this then become the pro-am? Because like, who the heck cares about playing with one guy anyways?
No, he would invite all his famous friends.
Oh, so like the who's who of Hollywood would come up to play.
Yes.
Okay. It's probably similar to, you know, last week, and I've talked about the podcast a lot, but, you know, Wells and I played in Orlando, and the reason that you would travel so far to go play in it is because for a couple of reasons. One, it's a good time. Two, you want to see how you compare to your friends.
Mm.
It's kind of like you get some competition going.
Yeah.
And then the party's a big deal. Like, this is supposed to be a big... So was there actually... like, is there a clam bake? Is that a thing?
No, that's the big joke, is that he never actually had a dinner where they baked clams. But so the original one was Pebble Beach and Cypress and Spyglass. Cypress is like a famous private golf course. They no longer use Cypress in the AT&T Pro-Am. They now use MPCC, which is where we are right now. Anyways, it was such a big deal that Hollywood elites all wanted to be in this tournament that they would do crazy things. They'd find out where Bing Crosby's house was. He was a great golfer.
Yeah.
He won the club championship at Lakeside. He was a member over at Lakeside up in Los Angeles. He's a scratch golfer. People would get sky riders and write over his house,
oh,
I want to be invited to the clam bake. It was a huge, huge thing.
That's funny.
So much so that a month before the tournament, he would go down to Mexico and not tell anyone his address because he didn't want to be bothered because everyone was trying to get in the tournament.
Hmm. So in the 30s, though,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how would they – like, that's a long drive for a car in the 1930s from L.A. to –
no, I mean, still, it's like a 6-hour drive.
Did they have highways in the 30s?
Yeah.
Was there traffic laws in the 30s?
Yeah, but we're not like crazy here. Like, the first car was like, what, 1907?
Like the first production car, the Model T?
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, late 1800s, early 1900s.
So, like, we're still early on here, man. That's a long trip. That's a big deal.
Yeah. But anyways, it was, listen... and he did it for years. Like, he did the clam bake for a long time.
Yeah.
And then now it's the AT&T. It got corporate and everything. And but like, Kevin Costner's here. Andy Garcia's here.
Condoleezza Rice. Yeah. Darius Rucker. Bill Murray.
Jim Knauss. Oh, wait.
We're talking celebrities.
Yeah. So it's still a big thing. It's hard to get into. I grew up here, and I used to work it as a child, and I would love to play it one day. And... not that celebrity. I got to do some more television shows.
If you're the casting director for the celebrities, if you're and you're listening, Wells Adams would love to join.
Oh, his name is Steve Johns.
Yeah,
Steve, if you're listening, I would love to play. So would Ben.
Yeah, let's not.
So would I. Come on, if Steve's really listening, I want my name to be thrown into the ring as well, please.
So we've been able to play some golf this week. We've been able to hang out together. We had a great dinner last night. Amy Sugarman's brother took us to his golf course, the Preserve. Today we played the golf course that Wells Adams worked at growing up as a child, Carmel Valley Ranch.
I was a range boy and a bag boy there, and I probably played that golf course 10,000 times, and Ben beat me today.
Yeah, I got lucky. But
shot 76, man.
That's pretty good.
Listen.
Four birdies. That helps.
I can't be upset losing to a guy who shot six over.
No.
Or five over.
Five over.
Yeah.
Six over. Sounds better. You know what was interesting about today, too? We played with two of your high school buddies. One of them's name is Alex. And Alex told me something on the range that he was a part of the very first radio show you ever did. Is that true? Did I get that right?
Yeah, so he went to a high school called Robert Louis Stevenson, which is in Pebble Beach, and it's a very nice school, and they had a radio program there. And I didn't go to the high school, but I was friends with Alex, and... he was doing a show and I asked if I could be come do it. And the, my first like radio entertainment industry con was convincing a school that I didn't go to allow me to have my own radio show at their school. And that's how I started in radio. And that's why I went to school for it, because I was like, this is awesome. So I ended up going to college for broadcast journalism and doing radio in college. And that's how it started, was because Alex Brandt had a show.
Yeah, we got to play with him today.
Yeah.
Speaking of shows, Dean, your show, is Jared still co-hosting it right now, or is he taking time off?
Yeah, if you're still listening to this episode of Almost Famous, yeah, go ahead and cut it short and flip over to Help I Suck at Dating. Because I'll tell you what, it's going to be worth your time. Yeah, Jared just had a baby a couple days ago. That's great. He's still co-hosting with us. Caitlin actually co-hosted the last episode with us. And we were a couple drinks deep. And I'm sure she kept like nudging me. She was like, shut up. Like, stop, stop, stop. And every time she said stop, I was like, oh, I'm just going to go even more into what I'm doing right now.
Why?
Oh, just because I was being ridiculous, as I always am. But yeah, check it out. Help I Suck at Dating. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate the plug.
Are you enjoying doing it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably the highlight of my week every single week when I log into my Zoom call and get to see Danielle and Amy. Well, they used to be there, not there so much anymore, but
I don't even get the premise anymore. You're basically married.
Yeah.
And Jared's married with a kid.
Yeah.
So no one sucks at dating anymore.
Oh, well, if you listen to the last episode, I'll tell you what, there's very clear evidence of me sucking at dating. There's a lot of moments where Caitlin was like, she was like writing things out on the notepad. She was like, stop talking about this. And I was like, okay, I'm so sorry, but I'm not going to just, I don't know. But yeah, it's a good show. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it.
I mean, so like sell us. Like, why should we, if you guys don't suck at dating, why should we listen to it?
Yeah. Well, you know, just because you're in a relationship or you have a baby doesn't mean you don't suck at dating. I'm sure we all can attest to that. Like, I'm sure there are things where Jess or Sarah wants more or like better from you in certain arenas. You know what I mean? So I think the idea of once you're taken, you can just get lazy is, that's kind of everyone's ultimate downfall. So that's what we do. We talk about how important it is to keep the romance alive, how to always put your partner first. And even though we struggle with it most of the time, we always, you know, try to circle back to the life lesson that we're all trying to teach, that, we're living for our significant other for a lot of times.
I head home. I mean, you brought up a good point, because I head home tomorrow, back to Denver. I've been gone for 8 days at this point. We got a puppy 2 days before I left. And so then I've been gone for 8 days, leaving Jessica at home with this puppy.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to feel really bad about it. She's never made me feel bad about it, but I just feel like I'm failing and falling very short as a husband.
Well, I'll tell you what. Your first mistake is only to start feeling bad now, because you should have started feeling bad 8 days ago.
Well, why?
Why would that help? New wife and you just got an 8-week-old puppy and you take off for 2 weeks to go golf with your friends?
This was not...
Don't get me wrong. I would do the exact same thing. And I commend you for doing it. But I'm just saying is, like, for the fact that Jess hasn't laid into you more about it is very impressive on her part.
She's an incredible wife.
Yeah.
You know, but part of getting this dog was also knowing these trips would plan.
Yeah.
So this was all pre-discussed.
Yeah.
But at this point, it's time. I need to get back home.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, too, as Wells alluded to earlier, to shoot a 76 on your last round of golf on this trip that you've been on. Very well. Way to close out strong.
You know, on the back nine, I didn't have one par.
I had shot even seven bogeys and two birdies.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It was a pretty intense day. Well, it has been fun hanging out with you guys. I think today what we need to do, because life has moved on for all of us, Wells came up with this idea, but I think we need to share our stories on how you actually got onto the show. Obviously, Wells and Dean have gone on to do great things post-show.
Oh, so successful post-show, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm killing it.
Let's start with Dean.
Yeah.
Dean,
I feel like Amy has something to do with Dean's venture into The Bachelor.
Well, I have a side story I'm going to share about Dean Amy once he shares his story. So,
but here's the deal about my story is I already know how my story starts and ends, so I'd rather hear like Wells or you go first.
Well,
Well, yeah, of course you know
your
story.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean...
I'd like to see Dean's version of the story, and then I'll tell you all the true version
of
the story.
Yeah, that's a good...
Yeah, that's always fun with Dean.
Yeah, the Patreon version.
Start it out.
I'll share my story. Yeah. Everyone take a seat, settle in, get your drink ready.
Wells has a friend here that I wouldn't let in the house until he tested negative for COVID. He's negative, so can you text your friend?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Poor Jim.
Jim's welcome back. All right, my story goes back to when I was just a wee little boy, ripe old age of 6 years old, and I was playing basketball out in my front yard, and I looked at my dad, and I said, Dad, one day I want to go on The Bachelor. I don't know. I had just broken up with my girlfriend maybe like 4 or 5 months prior, and I hated my job. I was a tech recruiter, and it was miserable, and I'm an adventure seeker at heart. And so my buddy called me, and he goes, hey, Dean, I'm going to do something for you, and I just want you to follow through with it no matter what it is. And I was like, Mike, okay, dude, I love you no matter what it is. Tell me what I got to do. And he goes, my friend's girlfriend works for this woman named Amy Sugarman, and she's best friends with the Bachelor executive producer. And I was like, okay. And he goes, all right, she's going to call you. And she calls me. And you know when you just meet somebody and you like don't fully realize how crazy they are? And like you're like you're still new to getting to know them. And so you like are fully present and you're like super, you know, into the conversation. And Amy and I talked on the phone for maybe like an hour and a half. Maybe not that long. It was a long time. We had a long conversation. I would say like 30 to 45 minutes, which is long for me because I hate phone calls. And then Amy was like, well, you're great. I love you so much. I'm going to pass you on to my friend Bennett, who is one of the executive producers. And then I guess Bennett passed my
information. You went way to the right to the top.
Yeah. Well,
there was three EPs. It was Alon, it was Bennett, and it was Nicole. No one knows who that is. And you talked to one of the three EPs.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I'm sure Amy probably gets a lot of people being like, hey, like nominate my friend for the show. So Amy took the time out of her day to like go through the right avenues to get it done, which I mean, kudos to Amy for doing that. But like, I'm sure you probably get a lot of people like asking you about that all the time. And then Bennett obviously didn't call me. Megan Firestone, who is now probably an executive producer on the show, called me. She's not yet. She will be at some point if she sticks with it.
She's too good of a cast producer to be an executive producer.
Do you want to hear an interesting tidbit, though?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so far the story is totally accurate.
Okay.
Completely true. Hannah Winkleman called me about you. I called you.
Who's Hannah Winkleman?
She's our friend's wife. She worked for me.
And
she's also
that doesn't sound like a real person.
No, she's
Hannah Winkleman.
She's
is a real
totally
person
a real person, and she's an awesome person. So, when did you come over? So first, I talked on the phone. Oh yeah, I got it. I remember now. So first, I talked on the phone with you.
Yeah.
Then I hung up with you, and I called Bennett, and I was like, Bennett, you got to meet this kid.
Super charismatic.
But did you see what he looked like?
Yeah, I had pictures. Hannah sent me a bunch of pictures, including a shirtless picture, which I didn't even I didn't even request. So,
he's so
I call Bennett, and Bennett's like, look, I don't do the casting, and I don't really like to like mess with what they're doing. I can't do it. So then I called you back, and we talked for another hour.
We talked. We were talking
so
together.
So then I called Bennett back, and I go, trust me. Call this guy.
Nice.
Have your guys call this guy. I go, it is a real loss if you guys do not call this guy. And then they called you. Because it did take me, I had to do some prodding.
You really had to work for it. That's great. Well, hey, thanks for working for it.
Thanks for changing your life. You're so welcome.
Yeah, thank you for everything you've done for me. It's funny, the shirtless photo.
You were right.
I know. And well, I don't tell everybody that I know that works on that show. I am the person.
And it gives you kind of power over them later on too, because you're like, I was right before, I'm probably going to be right again later on. The shirtless picture thing is pretty funny too, because maybe like 2 weeks prior, like not even that much earlier, one of my best friends who has been in the industry, he like works at an agency. Now he works for Amazon. He's doing really well. But back then he was like, Dean, you should like be a male model. Like you should go model. And I was like, Tommy, dude, I am not like up to that caliber of looking like I'm not a male model. Like it's just as simple as that. And he goes,
I would disagree with that.
No.
One of my buddies says you're the best looking man he's ever seen.
It just blows my mind.
You actively make yourself less attractive.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
You grow like terrible mustaches. Yeah. You don't shower.
You have like a weird sideburn thing going on. Yeah, six long hairs.
Okay, what else do you guys hate about the way I look right now?
And you're still better looking than us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, so, back to my story.
If you gave a shit, I mean, Brad Pitt.
Yeah, okay, well, appreciate that. Anyway, so he's like, dude, you have to try to be a model. And I was like, okay, Tommy, like, whatever, dude, let's try it. And so he's like, I set up a meeting with this, the head of modeling for Wilhelmina. And I was like looking through the Wilhelmina website, and they're like the most insanely beautiful men I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was like, whatever, I'll go to dinner with this guy anyways. And so we go to dinner, and he like tells me his whole life story, and it was the weirdest dinner of all time. Super nice guy, but like he was like unloading a lot of emotional baggage onto me. And then he was like, you're great. We love your look. I can see you doing all these things. I need you to get some photos. And so I was like, well, I have no money, so what do I do? And he's like, just go to like a Nordstrom and like try a bunch of stuff on in the changing room and take pictures of yourself. And so I like brought one of my best friends, Josh, into the changing room with me in Nordstrom, took like a bunch of photos in like a suit blazer and like shirtless.
Golf Josh?
Yeah, Golf Josh.
Really?
Yeah.
I know Josh.
And this is like 6 years ago too. And it's so funny because in all the photos, you can like see the tags on the shirts and stuff like that. And so that's why Amy was eventually sent one of those photos. And then anyways, then Bennett tells Megan to get in touch with me, and Megan calls me, and Megan and I talk for like 3 hours on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
She can definitely talk. And it was the same thing with Amy, you know, like I don't know. It's just like one of those things where you just like unload everything and like you just talk for hours. And then so eventually she was like, you're great. And this was like maybe a week before we left for filming. This is like February 3rd, and we left for filming like February 10th.
Oh, really? You guys filmed in February?
We were early February.
Yeah. I think you were very like a last minute addition.
I was the last addition. And I remember too, because I did like 2 in-person interviews at NZK or whatever the studio was in.
Did you not go to the hotel and do all those things?
No.
Screw you, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did that, didn't you?
Oh, I did that. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't do any of that. She was like, come into the studio tomorrow. We'll sign some paperwork.
That's how good looking Dina is.
Oh, my God.
I have to go through like 3 days of being locked in a hotel room and doing interviews. They just look at Dean twice and say, you know what? Just come to the house.
Yeah,
skip the process.
Just show up on the day.
Yeah.
No, and it was funny, too, because I was never really a fan of the show. I knew the format and how the system worked and stuff. But I remember when I was in the production and I met like Louie and Todd and like all of the cast producers and all that stuff. Like there was like 20 of them, and it was me. And like the next day they're like, yeah, we want you to come. But in that interview or like the meeting or whatever, they were like, so like tell us about yourself. And I was like, well, I know how the show works. Like if you guys end up coming to meet my family at Hometowns, it's going to be the weirdest episode you guys will ever have. And fully expecting like never to even make it that far. You know what I mean? And they were like, oh, like tell us more why. And I explained why, as we all saw play out on TV, if you guys watched that episode or not. And it was just like, I feel like they were like already like interested because Amy pitched me really well. And then I was like, my family's really weird. And they were like, wow, this guy's the whole package us.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then so I
ratings
left.
Ratings gold.
And then I left like a week later. And I packed to be gone. I packed a tiny little duffel bag.
This is one of my favorite parts. I want everybody to listen to this because you've told me this before.
Yeah, well, I hope I'm going to tell the story that I told you. I packed a little tiny duffel bag. I was expecting to be gone for 4 days. I brought maybe like 3 t-shirts, a pair of jeans, and 1 suit. And I called one of my best girlfriends at the time. I was like, Natalie, like I watched the show and these guys are all wearing like nice blazers and pea coats and like these cool bombers and like expensive jeans. And I don't know any of those things. And she goes, oh yeah, but like maybe just go buy a couple things. And like, you know, it's your style, so you're going to make it work. And it's funny, like looking back on it now, because I still don't dress like that, but it was just like, I had no idea how to prepare and I didn't know what to do. And then sure enough, I was on the show for 2.5 months instead of the 2 days that I was on it. But.
And so did you ever get more clothes?
Now I've got a couple more
clothes. No, when you're on the show.
Oh yeah. So my friend Mike, who I alluded to earlier, I wore the same suit every rose ceremony. And then the final one, I got to see him like during my hometown or something, and he brought me an extra suit. So the suit that I was wearing when I got dumped after Hometowns was his suit that he let me borrow.
It's an unlucky suit.
It's an unlucky suit. But I looked very good in it. It was a little small on me, but I felt hot in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the other suit was nice because it was like a dark blue, and I had like a couple ties so I could like change the look up of it enough. And I like had friends on the show that would like let me borrow their clothes. But, you know, I think there's something to be said about that specifically, is a lot of people go into it with the super high expectations and they think they're going to be a knockout hit and everyone's going to love them. And just like a little bit of humility goes a long way, you know, like just have like a little bit of humility and be like, I might get kicked off on day one or day five. People don't really go into it thinking that anymore, you know? They're thinking they want to be like an overnight celebrity. And that's my big issue with it now. So that's my Genesis story as to how I got on The Bachelorette.
Do Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray. It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that you have to feel to believe. It smells great. It's incredibly light on your skin, not greasy. It's amazing. Plus, no chemical smell since it's aerosol-free. Better control means coverage you can count on with a precision pump to get all your big and little spots.
Plus, your new favorite sprayer is refillable. Save time and money, which means more fun in the sun from your friends at Banana Boat. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. If the sun's out, the fun's out. So be ready with all new Banana Boat 360 Advanced Control Mist.
It's available in Banana Boat's high-performance, water-resistant sport formula and pediatrician-tested kids SPF 50. That is what I'll be spraying on Dawson at the beach this summer. The kid loves the beach. I love going to the beach with him. I can't wait to be able to have a fun summer activity to do together. Anyway, I can go on and on about the importance of sunscreen, but shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip. And I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. but the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Now I want to hear one of your guys's.
Your story's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they're all interesting.
No, I really had never. I had always heard that Amy got you on the show.
Mm. That's how I had heard the story. And now hearing all of that. It was, you really did, you skipped a lot of steps.
Yeah. I talked to Amy on February 3rd, and I was in a car up to the mansion on February, like, 12th.
Oh.
Holy cow.
So I was talking to them in November.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard. That's even early, too, I think, for a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
I got my first phone call 6 months before filming started. Mm. In between that time, I had blown out my knee and had surgery. Before, like, from the first phone call to when I went on the show.
You just blew out your knee. How many knees you got, dude?
Yeah.
I've blown it out 3 times.
Really?
Yeah.
Stop being athletic.
Yeah. Well, I think
just means, play golf.
I think that means the opposite. When your knees are dislocated from your body, you're anti-athletic.
Yeah.
It is, your story is interesting. I still remember Amy and I went out to lunch one day in Brentwood, and we're in a car, and she got a phone call from you.
Oh.
And I was like, who was that? And she said, this guy that just got off the show.
Oh, nice.
And he's going to be a star. He's going to be a huge deal. I like him a lot.
I was for a very short amount of time.
You're a star in our eyes.
Yes, yeah. That's all I care about.
And then I started paying attention to you. And then we got to meet later on and obviously become friends. And I have enjoyed a ton of memories with you, but I still remember that very first time she was like, this guy's gonna be a star.
Yeah, well, it's funny too, like a sidebar from that, I've told this story to you and I probably told it on a podcast once or twice as well, but there was a time when after filming was over, before the season had aired, and right before I went to Bachelor in Paradise, which was like maybe a 4-week gap, I was in Colorado visiting my friend and we went to this wine store in the Lower Highlands. And they saw you, and I guess I saw you too, but I didn't know who you were. You were just some like, good-looking guy. I didn't know you were super famous. And we left the store, and both my two friends, they were like, do you know who that was? And I go, no. And they go, that was Ben Higgins. He was The Bachelor. And I was like, you guys should have told me in the store. I was just on the show. I would have loved to introduce myself to him.
Yeah, yeah. And we ran into each other a couple of random times in Denver.
Yeah.
A couple times you didn't say hi to me.
when you were getting your acai bowl
outside. I was getting acai bowl outside and Dean just ignored me outside.
No, you guys have to understand.
That's exactly
you have to understand. I don't know what it was about your look that day, but you look like you were wearing like a Monster Energy hat. And you had like this like goatee. And I was like, that guy rides dirt bikes, or like he just drove his monster truck to the breakfast place. Like,
you know, I was on a walk. I had a basketball jersey on, yeah, swim like trunks, because we're going to the pool, and I had like a big old like hat on.
You could go to the bathroom, look at yourself in the mirror, and you'd be like, "Who the hell is that?"
I think I had white socks with like sandals on.
You looked good, but you looked so unlike yourself.
Dean was so like hurt by the fact of my look, even though he knew me, that he just goes, "I'm not going to even talk to him. I'll give him the hey, what's going on?"
Oh, that was funny. Yeah,
yeah, that was funny.
This is a guy who's curly, has a mustache, yeah, and a goatee.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Ben, like literally, you looked like Mike Metzger. Do you know who that is?
No.
He used to be like a professional dirt bike rider. And I so like, but like 30 years older, you look like him. And I'm so sorry. I didn't recognize you. I promise I would have said hi had I known you. I'm sick of talking about myself. I'm getting uncomfortable now. I want to hear your guys' stories.
Well, let's kick it off.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People have heard mine, so I'll make mine short too.
Okay. So I think I've told this story a bunch of times, but I'm happy to do it again because it was my idea. I was a radio host before the show, and I used to do a bit where I would go on auditions for commercials in Nashville, and I would intentionally be bad at them. And the whole bit was that I would have my co-host, which was always an intern, and we'd run lines on air for the commercial. And so it was like a Chinette paper plate commercial, or it was like a Meow Mix commercial or something. And we would go over the lines and it would be like, all right, the line is Meow Mix, we deliver, and whatever. And then I'd be like very serious about it. And then this is before Instagram and Facebook, really, and Snapchat and TikTok. And I'd make YouTube videos of me going to these auditions, and I would intentionally be bad at them because I wasn't really trying to get the gig.
Yeah.
I was trying to get the bit. So I would be bad at them. And then the next day I'd come back and I would be inconsolable because I didn't get the Meow Mix commercial.
That's pretty
okay?
funny. Yeah.
But it was a good bit. It was a funny bit. Sometimes I would get it though, actually. I got the Chinette paper plate commercial.
Even trying to be bad, you got it?
Yeah. And so...
So then do you carry the bit on into the actual commercial itself, or do you like then start taking it seriously?
So one of them was for like the Tennessee Lottery, and it was... The whole concept is that you're like bouncing a basketball and you're looking around and thousands of fans are screaming your name, and then you run to go do a layup, and I think how it was written was like someone from the Grizzlies comes and swats it away or something like that. And the whole thing was you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, play the lottery, you could win $1 million, something like that. Yeah. So I went to this audition straight up like Will Ferrell, like headband, socks up to my knees, short shorts, like old Converses. And I was like, 1960s me. And I was like doing the whole thing. And they didn't hire me, which is fine. And then if you go find, you can go find this commercial. They stole the look that I... The entire thing was just like 1960s, like a guy.
Really?
Yeah. Anyways, so I used to do this a lot because it was a good bit. And like I was very happy with like my career and I thought it was fun and funny. And my brother, Brett, of whom...
I love.
Yes. Amy's trying to marry him.
He's married. I'm not trying, but I do love... Wells' brother is like...
He's the best.
10 out of 10.
He's the best. And he also was like the good-looking one in our family.
No, you're as good-looking.
No, Brett was a model and an actor.
Because now he's old.
Now he's older, but he still is very handsome.
Very 10 out of 10.
Anyway, so he lives in Brentwood in Los Angeles, and he got approached by a casting director, and the casting director came up to him Brett is also a guy that like is friends with everybody. I mean, you guys know him, but like for everyone out there, my brother is a guy that knows everybody and everyone loves. There's never been a bad word said about my brother, and he's a person that never loses a friend. So this was 2007, 2008. He was at Q's in Brentwood.
Q's.
Yes, he loves Q's.
He also, by the way, he's the mayor of Q's.
Q's there?
Yes, yeah. And it's a goddamn black hole. If I go in there,
yeah.
I get absolutely tanked because, one, I don't pay for anything, and the bartender's way double pour me because Brett's the mayor of Q's. So he's in Q's watching his Kansas basketball, I'm sure, and a Cassinger comes up and is like, I don't know who the hell you are, but you are the most gregarious person I've ever met. Everyone loves you. Everyone's talking to you. Who the hell are you? And are you single? And he was like, my name's Brett. I am not single. I just started dating a girl, but like we just started dating like last week or whatnot. Who are you? And they started casting him for the show. They offered him to go on the show. He went through everything. And at the, you know, it takes months to get through the show.
For most people.
Not for Dean, but for most people, it takes a long time. And so for my brother, by the time they were like, okay, we're going to go start filming in March, he was like, I'm now very serious with this woman who now is his wife and they're having a child together.
Yeah, it's painful.
It's painful for Amy.
Yeah, it sucks.
But back to the part of my brother, everyone loves my brother and my brother has never lost a friend. 7 years go by, okay? I get dumped by the girl I'm dating in Nashville. I'm doing this like weird morning show on this strange radio station. And I'm kind of like, I'm in a weird spot. And my brother goes, hey man, do you want to go audition for The Bachelor? I'm still friends with this casting director. And to me, I'm like, why the fuck are you still friends with this person? Like, that was 7 years ago and you're married. Like, this is so weird. And he's like, hey, man, listen, I don't lose friends. Like, you never know what's going to happen. He's like, I'll send an email. So he sends an email to Melissa Chappius, who is a big casting director for the show, and says, hey, listen, my brother would like to go on the show. So Melissa's like, great, we'll be in Nashville in November. We'll set it up. Now, remember I used to do this bit where I would go on auditions and I would try to kind of ruin it, okay? So I am in my mind with the producers of the radio show, I'm like, I'm going to go do this Bachelor thing and I'm going to bomb it. And this will be really, really funny. So they call me up and they say, hey, listen, we need you at this hotel at this certain time. And I was like, well, I have a afternoon drive show. At the time, I was doing three different radio shows for three different formats. And I was like, I have a hard out, which is like the douchiest thing to tell somebody that you have unless you're Tom Cruise. But I was like, I got a hard out, so I need to leave early. And they're like, okay, fine, you'll be the first person in. So I had done my morning show. I go to my audition for The Bachelor, and I'm wearing like my normal clothes. I remember I was wearing a jean jacket, jeans, t-shirt with like a bunch of buttons or whatever. And I remember walking into this hotel in downtown Nashville, and everyone was wearing suits because like that's what you wear when you get out of a limo. And I remember looking around being like, well, this is off to a blazing start.
Yeah.
So I have to go first because I have a heart out like a doucher. So I go first. And I was like, listen, I got 15 minutes or whatever. And I sit there, and you know, they put a little camera up. Ben did this. Dean didn't do this because he lives in fantasy casting world. But they have a little camera, and they basically interview you for a couple minutes. And I had 15 minutes, and I remember 45 minutes went by. And they're like, so you're a radio DJ? Like, do your bit. So I had done my morning show that day. So I did every bit I had done that day. And it was right after, I don't know if anyone remembers this, but Justin Bieber had peed into a bucket at a restaurant for some reason. and he had like gone into the restaurant kitchen and peed into a bucket. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
I remember that.
And so the whole bit was like, that bucket's seen some shit, but like, God damn it, that's a good day for the bucket. You know? It was just like, you know, you could tell your kids, like, Justin Bieber peed on me. Today was a good day. Like, that was the bit. So I was, like, doing this, like, weird Justin Bieber bit for these people. And I remember, like, 45 minutes in, I was like, they think I'm funny. Like, I was trying to bomb this entire thing because I just wanted the bit for my radio show. And I remember they go... So this was in November. They go, what are you doing in March? And I said, ladies, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, let alone what I'm doing March. So I don't know what you're saying. They're like, well, we need you for March and April. This is going to be a thing. And so I knew that day that I was probably going to get booked for the show. And then there's like the whole story of like flying out to LA at the Sheraton in Los Angeles where they like poke and prod you and they do weird stuff, and which Dean didn't have to do, which annoys me. Because they did like a whole background check on me.
I'll be honest, it sounds fun.
I'm amazed. Like, so they did a whole background check on me. I remember there was a private eye. They were like, you didn't pay a ticket in 1997. Yeah. And I was like, what? Yeah. And I'm like, now I'm hearing this. I'm like, Dean has never paid a ticket in his entire life. Yeah. Like, they didn't give a shit about anything.
Okay, for the record, I did have to go to the private eye. I went to the private eye's house.
And yeah.
No, and she lived in like Long Beach or something. And I went there, she ran my social. And I did have, I mean, I've got a lot of misdemeanors on my record, like evading arrest and underage drinking and like all these ridiculous things that I got before I was 20 years old. So I had to experience all the things. I just went at a different pace than everyone else.
Yeah, but so what do you have to do to not be on the show? You have a laundry list of misdemeanors and they're like, yeah, that works.
Well, there are none of them.
How do you not?
I think as long as you have no felonies, that's really what it was. Yeah. And the thing was, I think I was really worried that I had an active warrant out for my arrest.
Yeah.
And another thing too was,
Do you still have an active warrant?
I sure hope not. The other thing, I don't want me to steal your story time, but this is all coming back to me in a rush. So I remember one of the things was I needed to have an updated driver's license because my driver's license was from Colorado and expired, and I was living in Los Angeles. And I went to the DMV to get a California driver's license. And they were like, you have like 4 speeding tickets you never paid, 5 parking tickets. So I had to literally pay the DMV like $1,100, which was basically like my monthly salary at the time to even get a California license just in order to go on the show. And like, sure enough, obviously fiscally it returned itself to me, but there was a lot of fear in my head where I was like, I'm paying $1,100 to go on a television show. And like, it could be the worst decision of my entire life. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but I did have to go to the private eye. For the record.
Okay, good. Yeah. You need to take STD tests and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You have to take the crazy person test.
And funny enough, the only test that I passed was the STD test.
You didn't pass the
every mental? Other test I failed. Oh, I mean, sure, I guess the mental test, but like I had, you know, the background checks and all the other stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand.
In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian Cocktail Maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray. It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that you have to feel to believe. It smells great. It's incredibly light on your skin, not greasy. It's amazing. Plus, no chemical smell since it's aerosol-free. Better control means coverage you can count on with a precision pump to get all your big and little spots.
Plus, your new favorite sprayer is refillable. Save time and money, which means more fun in the sun from your friends at Banana Boat. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. If the sun's out, the fun's out. So be ready with all new Banana Boat 360 Advanced Control Mist.
It's available in Banana Boat's high-performance, water-resistant sport formula and pediatrician-tested kids SPF 50. That is what I'll be spraying on Dawson at the beach this summer. The kid loves the beach. I love going to the beach with him. I can't wait to be able to have a fun summer activity to do together. Anyway, I can go on and on about the importance of sunscreen, but shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way. Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply, and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
So anyways, that was basically my story. And then it was, I had to wait for 6 months and, or whatever it was.
What is that like? Because like, so, okay, so you like go through it and they're like, we want you on the show. And then well, you just hear from them for 6 months?
I didn't know. Megan Firestone was also the person that was talking to me every week or whatever. And I think she was making sure that like I was being a good boy. But what I did that I think a lot of people don't do, and if this is like a cautionary tale for people that want to go on the show, what I did was I called every ex that I had, which was only a couple, and I said, I'm going on this show. I'm going to have to talk about like my past.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that, if you don't want me to do this, then I won't do this because I have respect for like for you and how this is going to make you feel and everything. And testament to all my exes, they're all like, you're a fucking idiot, and you have my blessing. Go on this
That's
show.
Funny, nice.
And so then I didn't feel bad because I was like, I'm just going to be honest about you know whatever happened with all of my exes, and I just didn't want like an ex coming on the show being like, and you did another thing. You did this, you know. So I just, and every time I watch a show, there's always like they haven't done on this past season, but there's always like an angry ex like comes, you know, and I didn't want that.
So. That's smart. I think that's a great cautionary tale too. Yeah. Is if you're going to go on the show, kind of cover your own bases, I guess. I my ex, my most recent ex that I had just broken up with, I cheated on her, and I still am very ashamed and upset with myself for doing that. But at the time, I like was I was in a place where I was like kind of denying it to like to myself and to everyone else, and a lot of people. Like news outlets were reaching out to her and they were like, hey, do you want to make a comment on your ex-boyfriend being on a television show? And she's a saint. She's like one of the nicest people in the entire world. So she always like refused to comment. But I could imagine a situation where like maybe my ex-girlfriend wasn't as kind as that one. And they would like, they would love to like drag your name through the mud. So yeah, it's a good cautionary tale for sure.
Did you, I mean, if this is a bit, Wells, for you not to get the gigs and then like every once in a while you get the gig and you got the bachelorette gig. Why did you say yes? Like you weren't expecting to go in and get it, and but then all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, maybe now I'll do it.
Well, kind of going back to what Dean was saying about like there's something about like I'm only going to last 4 days. I'm going to pack for 4 days of whatever. I kind of went into all those things. Like I'm not really trying to do this, but if I do, great. Every day is a blessing type of a thing. For me... Once they said that we want you to be on the show, then I was like, great. And at the time, I had been in some like long relationship that hadn't worked. And the way that I rationalized the whole thing was, well, normal dating hasn't worked for me. I'm still alone. At the time, I was 33. I was older than a lot of people. I was like, maybe this is how it happens. Like, then I became open to it. And so I was able to sell myself on it.
When you were on the show, did you still think you was part of your bit? Like while you were like in the mansion filming, were you still like, this is going to be great for my radio show?
No, but I remember being nervous that everyone was thinking, was going to think that I was using this to like get clout in radio, which I don't think I really was. I think in my mind, I was like, this will always be a funny antidote I'd be able to tell at dinner parties and maybe sometimes on the radio, but for the most part, like I didn't think that was gonna like make me the next Ryan Seacrest, you know. But I was nervous that people were gonna think I was doing that. But I also realized pretty early on that JoJo didn't like me. And then it was, let's just see how long we can hold on to this thing.
Why didn't she like you?
I think because I was kind of her buddy.
Okay.
If I'm, you know, like, I don't think she was attracted to me sexually. I think she was attracted to me, like, I think my I had a good personality, still do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty fantastic.
I'm pretty great. I think she thought I was funny, so she was like, I think we'll keep him around because he's like good. He's like good vibes, but I'm never gonna. I'm never gonna fuck this kid.
yeah. This is not my man.
Yeah. So and I think I knew that, and I think I was like, great, where are we going next?
Yeah.
Are we going to Argentina?
Big Sis is taking me to Argentina.
Yeah, let's go.
Because you never kissed her, right?
I did at the end.
Okay. We never saw it on TV? Or did
we? Yeah, we saw it on TV.
Okay. Yeah. Did she break up with you right after kissing you?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely, yes.
So you guys made out, and then she said, hey, this isn't going to work?
Yes.
Oh.
Do you think she knew that she was going to say that before she kissed you and she just like wanted to like send you on your way with maybe a smile, I guess?
It was at the end, like, you know, there was only 7 guys left or whatever at that time. And I think she was trying to whittle it down. And like, I just, here's the thing. Like, I would do so many things differently if I could go back, but I actually wouldn't do anything differently because everything worked out exactly the way it was supposed to. And I ended up doing very well for myself. But in my mind, like I was never on a one-on-one until the day I got dumped.
Okay.
So I was only on group dates. And I fucking killed group dates. I thought I did great every single one. I got the first rose in the first group date. The second one was like a football one that I had the most touchdowns of anybody. Even though we lost.
That's exactly what JoJo was looking for. Yeah. Who's going to score the most touchdowns for me?
Well, you know who got the freaking rose? Jordan Rodgers, because he threw all of them. But I caught all of them. But I was like, I'm doing so good, but I don't have any alone time with you. So any time that I had alone time with her, I was like, so I don't even know what your middle name is. Like, who are you? Like, what's your favorite book? I was, like, trying to, like, figure things out. And then watching it back, Robbie, like, the second day being like, I'm in love with you. Nah, I'm making out. And being like, that's crazy. That's much weirder than, like, what I was doing. Even though I was the weird guy, like, didn't make out with her. But I was just, like, trying to understand what her middle name was, you know? So I went through the show normally, and I should not have done that. And, like, looking back, I see that now.
You would have been more aggressive?
Hell yeah. Like, I'm not a wuss, like, when it comes to chicks. And I can make out with chicks.
Cool, man.
There was a part of me that was just like, so, like, how many brothers do you have? You know, like, things that you ask on first dates.
You just had, like, 9 consistent first dates.
Yes! And I remember the last day I got dumped, I finally got the one-on-one. And she shamed me for not making out with her. The date card said "Besame, besame, muchacho," which is "kiss me, kiss me, kiss me, you little." I was hanging out with her, and I was like, you know, it's fine. Like, what you're doing, I get it. Like, also, you didn't write this date card, but whatever. But I was like, I've done the math. Do you know how long we've hung out? And she was like, how long? I said, 27 minutes. This entire time, 27 minutes, okay? Which, if I had made out with you in 25 minutes, I might get canceled, you know? Like, I might get Me Too'd real quick.
That's like picking up your first date and like making out there before you even get to the restaurant.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
No, I know I'm not wrong.
So have you seen JoJo or Jordan since?
No, like, it's so funny, though, because we were such buddies on the show. So after the show, like, she would text me. And I remember we were at iHeart and iHeart Fest in Vegas. And she was like, just so you know, you're the only person other than Jordan that I follow from our show, from my show. And you're the only person that I talk to because I think you're cool and I think we're friends. And I was like, that's cool. You didn't need to fucking dump me in Argentina, but like, that's fine. And then like weird things would come out of the people that made it further than I did.
Yeah.
And
what
I
mean,
we don't need to go into, but things happen for other people.
Like guys that made it further than Wells did didn't end up coming out of this whole thing unscathed.
Yeah. And I would send screenshots to her and I would say, just so you know, he made it further than I did. And she would be
like, and I talked to every one of my exes and they all said I was great.
I was a good cop. Yeah. So anyways, but I got nothing but love for JoJo. We were not meant for each other. And I think that's why we both are happy, because like, I don't care. Like really, I mean, it's not how I'm supposed to say that, but I don't care. Like I'm happy for her. I really do like Jordan. He was a good guy. We were friends on the show. We still are friends. And so that's my story.
Yeah. Isn't it weird too, to, I mean, we have these moments now as we sit around and like have drinks, you know, play golf and talk, and I'd say like maybe 5% of total conversation is ever about anything about the show when we're hanging out. Like very little, but just how...
That's a bit of a lot.
Yeah, last night we talked about it. 30%. Last night we talked about it a
little
bit.
A little bit, but like if we're hanging out like in Orlando together, I don't think we probably brought up the show once.
No.
I don't think there was one time. I don't think if Dean comes to my house in Denver and visits, the show ever gets brought up. But when you,
yeah, that's because we're legitimate friends, though.
Yeah. What I'm saying is how much now, my point to this whole intro was how much now it has enhanced your life. Like you did just say, like you're wearing a Modern Family jacket right now. Like the jacket you have on has Modern Family. You met your fiance because of the show. Your career hasn't fully changed, but it's been enhanced, I would say. You know, Dean, Kaylin's out here with us.
Yeah. Kaylin is, you know, she's all I need in life. I don't need a great career like Wells. I don't need
you have a podcast on the same network I do.
I don't need a fancy car like Ben. You know, I got
2016.
Kayla. I got 150.
That's what we're going for.
Well, I mean, if you really think about it, yeah. So the show led Wells to Sarah, and the show led obviously me to Kaylin more so than either you guys. But the show also led Jess to you in a lot of ways. Where 100%. Like she probably would never have responded to you had she not been on the show. And so, like in a lot of ways, we do have the show to thank for the success we've had romantically.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a big, you know, pivot point in all of our lives.
Yeah,
and it's like it is something I look at with a lot of gratitude. It's not always been ideal, but.
Yeah.
A lot of gratitude.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024. The Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage. With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray. It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that you have to feel to believe. It smells great. It's incredibly light on your skin, not greasy. It's amazing. Plus, no chemical smell since it's aerosol-free. Better control means coverage you can count on with a precision pump to get all your big and little spots.
Plus, your new favorite sprayer is refillable. Save time and money, which means more fun in the sun from your friends at Banana Boat. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. If the sun's out, the fun's out. So be ready with all new Banana Boat 360 Advanced Control Mist.
It's available in Banana Boat's high-performance, water-resistant sport formula and pediatrician-tested kids SPF 50. That is what I'll be spraying on Dawson at the beach this summer. The kid loves the beach. I love going to the beach with him. I can't wait to be able to have a fun summer activity to do together. Anyway, I can go on and on about the importance of sunscreen, but shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So like how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Let's talk about something we all can relate to. Hair removal. Yeah, not exactly the highlight of our day, right? Nicks, cuts, razor burns. Ugh. But guess what? Nair, the OG, has taken hair removal to the next level with their new sensational shower and body creams that smell amazing. Literally the best thing ever. For real, Nair's new scents turned my bathroom into a spa.
You guys, I remember when my mom gave me like the first bottle of Nair to use on my upper lip, and I was like, this is so awful, but I do like need to do it. But the smell so close to my nose for so long. The worst part of like the every other week or whatever I would do it. Now it smells incredible. Like there's Moroccan argan oil and orange blossom shower cream that you can use. It's like a pampering experience. You put it on your legs, let it sit there for a little bit. And it's so much better than shaving. They also have like rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, soothing aloe and water lily body cream. Really anything you could think of to get rid of your hair in the most pleasant way, Nair has it. They have new shower and body creams that are so easy to apply and they work in as little as 3 minutes. And if you're going to shave more parts than just your legs, think about what you can do in 3 minutes with Nair. And the skin smooth feeling lasts so much longer than shaving. Like I just mentioned, you can use it not just on your legs, but on your arms, your underarms, even your bikini area. And we all know that with summer around the corner, that's a place you need it. Nair has turned the hair removal process into a sensorial experience. The scents are just amazing. And when I say that my bathroom smells like a spa, I really mean it. So check it out. The new and improved body creams and shower creams from Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Well, okay, so I think it's your turn, even though this episode's gone a good 30 minutes past how long it was supposed to.
Yeah, I can do mine quick because a lot of people listening has heard it, but I was dating a girl, just to give everybody a reminder, I was dating somebody in college I thought I was going to marry, and she, her and I are friends now, so I want to preface this with saying we're friends, and are friends. But she was a freshman in college. I was a senior in college. I was ready to marry her my senior year of college.
You were that guy.
I was that guy.
Yeah.
So she was in Bloomington, Indiana. After I graduated, I went back to Warsaw. And I would drive down to Bloomington about every weekend. And at some point, like, I think for her, and it's totally fair, you know, her grad, like, alumni boyfriend seems to have nothing better to do than come and visit his sorority girlfriend who's trying to have a good time in college and, like, you know, want to take her on dates and, like, want to do, like, weekend trips. And I think she's just trying to have a good time in college. And so we started to, like,
Matthew McConaughey and Days from Future.
And so,
all right.
So I went down on a trip. I still remember this, to Bloomington. And she's like, what are your dreams and what are your plans? And I said, I'm going to, you know, I think we got a good thing going. Like, I'll be in Warsaw. I can drive down and see you. And she says, no, like, Ben, you're never going to leave Warsaw, my hometown. I was like, well, there's not a huge reason to. There's a great job there for me. Like, my parents are there. My family is there. And she goes, I just think when you do that, you're losing your it factor. And I was like, oh. And we kind of, like,
kind of love this woman.
Yeah, she's pretty, she's really great. And so a month later, it's summer, and I wanted her to stay in Indiana because I'm a jerk, and she wanted to go take an internship in Austin, Texas, and it was kind of my last hurrah at trying to keep her in part of my life. And so I'll drive you to Austin, Texas. I'll take the road trip with your car down there, but let's break it up. Let's do a trip to New Orleans, and then go to Austin from there. And so we drive down to New Orleans, and we go out to our first night. We have a great night. Second night, go to this really fancy dinner. I still remember I had no money to my name, and it was like a $150 dinner. And I thought I was, I thought I was a big deal. And I also was so scared to spend that money. And at dinner that night, we go and we walk home, and we're going to stop and get a cocktail afterwards. We walk into this bar, and there's like a 5-minute wait. So we sit down on the side of the bar. And she just looks at me and goes, I think it's time for us to be done. And I said, what? And there was no sign of this, like, pointing to this. Yeah. But she goes, I think it's time for us to be done. And so that was the night.
Before you got into the bar?
We were, like, sitting, waiting in, like, the waiting lot.
I didn't have my hurricane yet.
Yeah.
Let me get the hurricane, then dump me.
Then dump me. Well, this is the best part of the story. So I don't have a flight home, and I don't have any money to pay for a flight to New Orleans. So I have to drive to Austin and spend a week with her family she's living at. So we drive 9 hours in a car. She puts her headphones in, and I drive her like the 9 hours to Austin, Texas. And we don't say a word to each other the whole way. We get to her aunt and uncle's house in Austin, and I would wake up before she woke up every day and leave the house and come back home at like 11 o'clock at night. Like, I just find stuff to do for a week until my flight could take off, because I didn't want to tell my parents I was embarrassed and I didn't want to tell them to get me a new flight. And I didn't have the money to buy a new flight. So I just waited out, finally flew back to Indiana. Well, I got back to Indiana, and my buddy and I were going to, based on this, when she said, you've lost your it factor, I said, I'm moving. So we decided to move to Peru, South America. And we lived in South America, and I ended up getting homesick and missing her and thinking I could get her back. So I came back home early. I got back home, and my boss at my job, was like a part-time job, convinced me to leave town, went to Denver. A year after moving to Denver, I was so sad. And I told that whole first part of the story because I was so sad. I still missed her. I didn't have any friends. I hated my job. And one of the ladies at my work said, I remember this day. She goes, you're really sad, and you need to shake life up a bit. I'm going to sign you up will you go with me to an audition for The Bachelorette? And I said, no. And she said, can I sign you up online? I said, yeah, you can sign me up. And that's when the whole thing started. So she signed me up. A week later, they called. 2 weeks after that, I blew out my knee. And that's when then I kept having conversations with him, but I wouldn't tell him I was hurt because I thought the show was going to be starting soon and I was just going to, you know, tough it out. And then I didn't hear from him for like 3 months. Like they just disappeared. The show disappeared from my life. And so I went ahead and got surgery. And then right the day I got surgery, my mom had came out to take care of me and help me nurse me back to health. My phone rang and it was Amy. From LA, and she called and the LA called and they said, hey, can Ben be out here in a week? And so really? A week after my surgery, I came out to LA, and did the whole thing you're talking about. You know, you walk into a room, there's like 25 people there. There's a bunch of random girls that are like, I don't know, sizing you up to see if you're interesting to date or not. There's a room full of a bunch of producers and I'm on crutches. And I really think the crutches were the thing that like sold me, or why I stood out to them was I was on crutches, but I had long hair back then. My hair was down to here.
Really?
Yeah. And when I left there,
he's pointing to his shoulders.
they asked me to cut it. Like when I left there, like, hey, this isn't the best look for you. Like,
can I see a picture of you with?
Yeah, I'll find that picture. It's a great picture. I have them on my phone. In fact, my buddies still make fun of me for it to this day. So anyways, went on the show. And as I left, I had a similar feeling to you, because as I left for the show, I had three friends over the night before I got dressed and went on the show, and they were picking out some clothes for me. And my one buddy goes, you know, there's a lot of like studs on that show. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I bet you're like, you could be there like a couple weeks. And like, he meant that as a compliment to me. Yeah, like, yeah. There's a lot of studs on this show and you might make it a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And so I went on the show fully predicting to be home fairly quickly, because all of my friends seemed to think that I was going to be coming home very quickly. In fact, my family had like, and like my family and friends had a consensus where it's like, don't quit your job, Ben. Just take 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
take yeah. your vacation time now. You'll be back and then nobody will have to know.
Right. It'd be like a fun little thing.
It'll be like a fun little like story you tell. Yeah. That was kind of my feeling. And what people don't always remember about my season was, there was two bachelorettes.
Yeah.
So there's Britt and there was Caitlin, and we had to vote. Well, that took 2 nights. But my intro to them, I was so nervous and I was so overwhelmed and confused that I couldn't get any words out. Mm-hmm. And so I blacked out, but like worse than like blank and blackout, like I couldn't talk. Like I couldn't figure out how to talk. So I was so nervous. And so I said, thanks for having me. And I walked inside. Like I couldn't even get anything going. And then once all of our entrances were done, we all went back to the hotel because it was a 2-day film. It was 2-night filming. And so that was my only interaction. I was like, I laid that all night that night. I remember being like, you're an idiot. You're going home. Like your friends are going to make fun of you. Like you have totally just like embarrassed yourself in front of like everybody and you're gone. Mm-hmm. Well, it didn't work out that way. I ended up sticking around for a bit.
Did you vote for Caitlin?
I did. I wasn't fully, I knew like from talking to 2 minutes of them, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't
and you blacked out, so you didn't even remember probably talking.
But I remember that night I was so like up in the air. I'm like, I don't know who to vote for.
Yeah.
And the producer's like, who are you voting for? I was like, I don't know. Like I barely remember both their names right now. And when I went on to the show, I found out the night before we started filming who the bachelorettes were gonna be. So I had no premeditative like thought on any of this. And one of the producers was like, you'll just get along with Caitlin really well, I think. And so I was like, well, I'll vote for Caitlin then. She seems cool. Yeah.
They poisoned the well.
They were leading you that one.
Yeah. But same thing happened to us. Everyone thought that Kayla Quinn was going to be the bachelorette. Mm-hmm. And they announced that it was JoJo 2 nights before we got out of limos. And they came in with iPhones, I remember, and filmed our reaction to watching like Jimmy Kimmel or whatever it was.
You mentioned something about this too. I remember before I left for the show, I didn't tell any of my friends either. I like told my brothers and I told like 2 of my best friends, maybe. And then we had this huge barbecue like the night before I left for the show, and it was like for like someone's birthday party. But my 2 buddies that I told, they were like, oh, like this is your going away barbecue. And there was like 40 people there, like my 40 closest friends, whatever it was. And no one knew. And then sure enough, the next day we go to the hotel and then we do like for the first time they'd ever done it. They did like the live television thing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like I was gone all of a sudden. And like 2 days later, I was on live TV telling this woman that I want to go black and never go back. and all my friends were like, they were like, why did he never tell us he was going on the Bachelorette? Yeah.
Also, why did you agree to say that on television?
It's because Alon, dude. Alon's so smart and he can just, he finds ways in. I didn't know what I was going to say. And he like, I think I told you this story before. I was like in the dressing room by myself with Megan Firestone. And we were like going over what I was going to say. Like, how hard is it just to be like, hey, I'm Dean. I'm so excited to be here. Can't wait to get to know you better. All right. See you later. So simple. But like in the moment, I was like, I can't even make words right now. You know what I mean? And so right before I go out there, Alon, who's like one of the former executive producers, he comes in. He goes, Dean, I know you're really struggling on what you should tell this woman today. But I think I got something good for you. Oh. And I go, Alon, that's great. I'm struggling. Like, what is it? And he goes, actually, never mind. You're going to be too scared to say it. and then he leaves. And then I'm like, wow, that must have been great. But like, what? Like, I'm so curious what it is. And so I like keep like taking shots of tequila to get like ready for it. Nervous live studio audience. First time ever doing anything like that, really. And as we're like lining up behind the curtain to like walk out and introduce ourselves, Alon walks by me again. And I tap him on the shoulder. I'm like, Alon, tell me what you think I should say. And he goes, all right, I want you to say, I want to go black and never go back. And I was like, that is the dumbest thing, the dumbest thing I could possibly say. And then I thought about it for a couple more seconds and I was like, I'm going to fucking do it.
Deaners.
And the worst part about it too is, that's bad. It's bad to say that. Don't get me wrong. But what I disliked the most about my delivery was I literally just said that and then left. I wasn't like, oh, by the way, my name's Dean. You look beautiful.
You didn't even tell her your name.
I don't even think I told her my name. I walked out there and I stood right in front of her for 2 seconds and I looked her up and down and I said, I'm ready to go black and never go back. And then I exited stage right. and they were like, whatever you do, exit stage left. So I also fucked up the exit. and then I saw her like 3 days later and I was like, I can't believe what I did 2 days ago. I'm so sorry. And thankfully, obviously, she had a great sense of humor about it.
What did she say to you back?
I don't even remember, I'll be honest. Yeah. She was like, all right, let's get going then or something like that. I don't know. But
Oh, Deaners. Well, it is an interesting ride. Thank you both for sitting down and sharing this time with us. It is fun to hear this because I haven't heard either of yours. It's been a great episode of the Almost Famous Podcast right here at the AT&T Celebrity.
AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am.
And Steve, if you're still listening to this, you got you got two really
Steve,
good
Steve, I shot a 76 today. Yeah. Just want to let you know. Yeah. Wells.
I shot 77, Steve. Yeah. I lost. Yeah. So.
But hey, thanks guys for joining us. With that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. And that's the Almost Famous Podcast.
Bing bong, boom bong.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely, available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour.
It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. I've discovered the secret to turning diaper duty into pure parenting joy. Okay, well, that might be a stretch, but Pampers Swaddlers is truly the answer. They feature a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, including even blowouts. And for 2024's hottest baby shower / sprinkle gift, it's the Pampers Diaper Stash. I am so for diapers for a baby shower. Our registry. This Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund where family and friends can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. Just create an account, share it, and then watch it grow, and then gift it. So easy. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness with Pampers Swaddlers and the Pampers Diaper Stash.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.